Very good morning to each one of you. Appreciate those who are assembled today, and especially those who are visiting. Encourage you to come back whenever you have the opportunity. I do want to thank those who helped out and attended and participated in a variety of ways for our Vacation Bible School. I believe it went very well, and I appreciate your help in those matters. Our theme for Vacation Bible School was Are You in the Race? And talking about the Christian race. And we've continued that series, that idea and that thought from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27 in our Sunday morning lessons for this month of July. It will coincide with also our Bible classes on Sunday morning among the children. And so there's many things we can learn and be encouraged when we think about what the Scripture says about running the Christian race. And so we hope that in this series of lessons, it will encourage each one of us to stay faithful and stay in the race. This time, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you are so good to us in ways that we sometimes don't even comprehend. We're mindful that you have blessed us with another day of life, blessed us with the Lord's Day to worship you in spirit and truth and to be able to fellowship with people of like-minded faith. Father, we just thank you for the sunshine, we thank you for the rain, and we just thank you for sustaining us and blessing us as you have. We ask that as we have come this morning, that you will renew our interest in spiritual things, that we will diligently seek your word, and we'll open our heart, our mind, our soul to who you are and what you expect us to be and how you expect us to live and help one another in this world. Father, may we love you and may we love our neighbor. Father, we just pray that as we talk about the scriptures of running the race, that we will be in the race. We run the win, and that you'll give us encouragement from your word, from the Holy Spirit, from your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can overcome the trials and tribulations and temptations in this world to be able to hear those blessed words of well done, good and faithful servant. Father, help what we do here be a part of that in nurturing our faith and encouraging us to continue to run that race. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen. As baseball season is in full swing and football season will soon begin, you know, we expect the players to play well. We hope that they are prepared. We hope that they are conditioned and they are ready for the task at hand. You know, we wouldn't pay much money if our favorite teams would go out on that field and fall over from injury or lack of endurance because they hadn't prepared. Many ball leagues would not survive if their players just showed up to the game and never practiced before. And so it is that Paul presents this idea of winning the race to win from the athletic events. And so we're reminded and we think about those who perform and play games. They're practiced and they're prepared. Some coaches have even made mention of that. Vince Lombardi stated this in preparing his team or any team. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Another coach said this, I want my team to be more detached from the wins and losses and be more focused on doing the little things well. When you focus on getting the win, it can suffocate you, especially during playoffs when the pressure gets thick. I find it interesting these two coaches have a little bit of a different take on winning, but they do say something very common in each of their statements. It's that doing things well, doing the right things, the little things in their practice and preparing for the game. They are basically talking about excellence, doing one's best, developing and stretching one's ability to do the best they can to be able to win or even perform well in the heat of the moment, in the moment of that game, we might say in the moment of battle. Paul again states this very similar concept in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I'd like to read that from a little bit of different translation this morning, as Paul has already read that this morning, but listen to how this translation puts this. Do you not realize that though all the runners in the stadium take part in a race, only one of them gets the prize? Run like that to win. Every athlete concentrates completely on training, and this is to win a wreath that will wither, whereas ours will never wither. So that is how I run, not without a clear goal, and how I box, not wasting blows in the air. I punish my body and bring it under control to avoid any risk that having acted as a herald for others, I may be disqualified. Again, Paul uses this idea to illustrate the spiritual race. And when we as Christians should be running this race, it's running with excellence, striving to do our best, striving to do what's right to win that prize. So how do we run with excellence? How do we run? In all these series of lessons, how do we run with excellence? Well, number one, excellence takes hard work. Ask any athlete, and it requires hard work. A slack runner cannot win races. A slack football player does not win the game, and the list could continue. Although I'm not a runner, I do know running takes a lot of hard work. Athletics takes a lot of hard work. Going to the Olympics takes a lot of hard work to win that prize, that medal, that championship. It takes proper training and preparation. It takes using the right equipment and maintaining a proper diet. It takes doing exercises every day for training, stretches and strength training, and the proper rest of one's muscles. It's a process. It's endurance. It's daily working towards that goal. In becoming a runner, you must be aware of also the injuries, the sacrifices, and the setbacks. If you do not train right, you can cause more damage to your body than the good to your body. And running a race also takes endurance. In order to be a competitive runner, one must have that endurance. It comes by getting up early in the morning and making sacrifices, having a desire to do it, and even pushing through those moments when that desire is not there. And those who win are the ones who have dedicated their entire life to running and running well. This is what Paul pulls on and makes mention of as he thinks about this training and being a Christian runner in the Christian race. Paul goes on to tell us in 1 Timothy 4 and 8 that physical training is good, but Paul was concerned about the greater good, that's training for godliness, training for the spiritual Christian race. Much like preparing for a physical race, preparing for the Christian race also it takes hard work. Not saying that we earn our way to heaven, but it does remind us that there is effort, that the Christian who lives that Christian life is going to put forth some effort, that it's not about apathy or just getting by. Living the Christian life takes work. It takes something being put into it. Steve Flatt, the former president of Lipsum University, tells the time that he asked professor and preacher Basil Barrett Baxter the secret of how one become a great preacher. Dr. Baxter gave a brief and to the point answer, said, read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. And that is definitely the training ground for the Christian and the Christian race. It takes hard work to study the Bible. It takes hard work to wrestle through some of the passages that are there in order to glean and understand what God has in mind for us. But we're not the first people to wrestle with the text, to wrestle with Scripture. I'm reminded of Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. He devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws to Israel. Notice he wrestled with Scripture. He wrestled with the Word of God. He wrote Scripture by divine inspiration, but he also taught it to Israel. And he also applied it, observed it, lived it out in his everyday life. That takes work. And yet he was dedicated to the Lord. We're mindful of Daniel in Daniel 6:10, in which he was even punished for praying three times to the Lord each day. And that's how he ended up in the lion's den. Of course, we know the rest of the story. God provided a great miracle and rescued him from that lion's den. But notice that he was dedicated to prayer. And in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans examined the scriptures daily. And in 2 Timothy 2, and verse 15, Paul tells Timothy to study to show that he knows the truth of God's word. This is how the Christian runs the race in part, studying scripture and praying and feasting up on the word of God. And it does take hard work in the Christian life. It can be trying. It can be challenging, but how blessed we are when we struggle through. I'm reminded of sometimes members, even sometimes Bible class teachers have come up to me and says, this is just too hard. And unfortunately, there has been those who have just given up and wanted to do something else. But we need to understand there is a value in struggling with the text. There is a value of studying the Word of God, that we get something out of it when we put something into it. Hard work in a Christian life begins with studying and prayer, which overflows in areas of our life. Walt Worley is a member of a congregation which goes to Cuba on mission trips. Walt is not a minister. We might say he's an average member, if there we can say such things. He doesn't hold a leadership office. He's just an average member, we might say. But before he went with his congregation to Cuba on a mission trip, Walt took an intensive one-month Spanish course so he could know the language. He then prepared a special sermon for the Cuban audience, and he memorized the scriptures he studied in Spanish. The Cubans were impressed that he had taken time to learn their language, and the result of his preachings, five people came forward to be baptized into Christ. See, he worked at it. It was hard work. And not only was he doing it in a different language, he's a different country. But hard work and effort in our Christianity, we will reap benefits. But sometimes we may not see that in baptism or restorations. We may see it in the fruits of the next world. But it takes effort. Excellence in running the Christian race takes hard work. But number two, excellence is paying attention to the details of our Christianity. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul says, run in such a way to win. That takes detail. It takes looking at our life. And again, it's just not about getting by. It's looking at the details. It's examining ourselves. As we surround ourselves around the Lord's Supper, we must examine ourselves. But that's not the only time. As we see throughout Scripture, we are to examine ourselves daily. Are we running the Christian race? Are we running to win or just get by? Do we say, well, I'm a sinner. The preacher is a sinner, so why even try? You know, I've heard that. I've heard people just make excuses for their sins and just live kind of apathetically their Christian life, and we wonder why we're not making an impact in our world. And yet the Bible says, run to win. Run with excellence. Pay attention to the details of your life. Yes, we all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But we're not meant to stay there. We're not meant to stay in sin. In fact, the Bible calls us and challenges us to refocus our lives, to repent of our sins and get back in the race and strive to stay focused on Christ. There is a lady. She went to her preacher and said, I'm quitting church. I'm not ever going to church again. And she explained, I see people on their cell phones texting during services. Children are loud. And some members are sleeping during the sermon. And then there's the hypocrites. And on she began to give her list. The preacher replied, said, Can I ask you to do something before you leave? She said, sure. And he said, take this glass of water and walk around the church building and don't let any water fall out of the glass. She agreed and walked around the building with a glass of water, and she came back and said, proudly, it's done. The preacher asked her these questions. Did you see anybody on their cell phones? Did you hear any loud children? Did you see anyone sleeping? And she said, I didn't see any of those things because I was so focused on the glass so the water wouldn't spill out. The wise preacher then explained, when you come to worship, you should be that focused on God. That's where Jesus said, follow me. He did not say, follow other people. He said, follow me. She got the point. We must not let our relationship with God be determined on how others relate with God. We must be determined how we focus on God by our relationship. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I paying close attention to the details? Am I focusing on God? Paul brings this thought out in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 through 9, where he tells the Corinthians that excellence, certain spiritual, they excel in certain spiritual things because they follow Christ. They set an example for us today as we read through the text of the New and Old Testament that we need to pay attention to God. We need to pay attention to follow Him. One of the great problems in our society has developed out of technology is distracted driving. Distracted driving. And too common, we hear the results, and usually they're negative, of those who are distracted driving. When we come to worship with Christ, we need to be careful we're not distracted worshiping. See, as Christians, as we have come together, we need to pay attention. The Hebrew writer over in Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us that we need to pay more close attention to what we have heard. We can be easily distracted. We need to be focused on our faith. Do we really believe God? Do we believe He works? Are we focused on His love? Or do we fret and worry about tomorrow? Do we focus on reflecting that Jesus is the Lord in our life by our speech and our attitude and the way we treat one another? Are we focused on learning the Scriptures to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we workers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You think about the Apostle Paul. There probably wasn't anyone in the New Testament, at least, that was publicized as he, as being a great worker for the Lord. He was very, very diligent in his efforts. And what about us? Paul isn't just urging the disciples just to avoid wickedness. He's not just getting them to be good, but he is trying and striving to tell us that we need to master our lives, pay attention to the details of our Christianity, and do and run and live in such a way that we honor Christ, that we're sold out for Christ. They're sold out for His church, and we're willing to run. Someone has said, if the church bears Christ's name, it's worth doing our best. That comes from Scripture, that idea. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Shiloh where you are going. And in Colossians 3 and verse 23 through 24, whatever you do, do your work wholeheartedly as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Church, who do we serve? Who do we serve? It'll be determined in how we pay attention to the details of our Christianity. But number three, excellence takes daily diligence. When Paul is talking about the Christian race, he is not talking about once a week or once a month or even once a year. It's something that is done daily. And if a person is going to do his best work, if they're going to run a race, it takes daily training the body, making it fit to prepare for the race. And that's what Paul was reminding us as Christians. Worship is essential to the Christian faith. As we have gathered here in His name, it's essential to worship Him in spirit and truth. But it doesn't end at the last amen. The Bible reminds us it's a race. It's a marathon race. It's something we continue to do once we leave this assembly. Notice some passages that brings this to mind. In Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14, Paul has this to say, "Brethren, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to that what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying he keeps pressing forward. He keeps going forward, keeping that focus on the Lord and that prize of heaven. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he has this to say, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, actually handling the word of truth." Again, Paul says, a workman, diligently. Again, something that you do continually. And then Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, "Therefore, since we have so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Again, this passage is not talking about something we do once a day, but it's something we do diligently each and every day, enduring, continuing, abiding in Christ. There's a story told, maybe you've heard it. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer, contractor, of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife, enjoying the extended family. He had missed the paycheck, but he needed to retire and they could get by. The contractor was sorry to hear this good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but it's time. It was easy to see that his heart was not in the work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship, used inferior materials, his unfortunate way to end his career. In fact, it was probably one of the worst houses he ever built. When the carpenter had finished his work, the builder came to inspect the house. The contractor handed the front door key to the carpenter and said, "This is your house. It's my gift to you." As I thought about that story, what a point it makes. God has entrusted us with helping build the kingdom of Christ, to build his church, his kingdom for all the world to come into. How are we doing? How are we doing? If we were offered that opportunity to now to take and figuratively saying, take in and enter into that kingdom, how are we doing? Are we doing it with the best of our lives? Are we living in an apathetic type of way? Are we depending on someone else to do it? How are we engaged? And how are we running the Christian race with excellence? Notice again 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. "Do you not realize that though all the runners in the stadium take part in the race, only one of them gets the prize? Run like that to win. Every athlete concentrates completely on training, and this is to win a wreath that will wither, whereas ours will never wither. So that is how I run, not without a clear goal, and how I box, not wasting blows in the air. I punish my body and bring it under control to avoid my risk, that having acted as a herald for others, I myself be disqualified." Church, how excellent are we running the Christian race? And I realize when we talk about excellence, when we talk about doing our best, we come at all different stages in our faith. There are some of us here are striving to do our best. We're like that widow of two mites. You remember when Jesus saw her put her two mites? She gave with excellence. She gave the best she had. And there are some of us here that are like that and praise God and keep on. But there are some of us that may be like the man who had one talent. You remember when Jesus told that parable in Matthew 25, and he hid his talent. He didn't live with excellence. He didn't give his best. And what he had was taken away. Which one are we? As we conclude this morning, when the Olympic Games were held in Mexico City, the account of a young African was told. As he was running the marathon race, he fell during the marathon and couldn't continue to run. Long after the winners received medals and the crowd was gone, this runner plodded slowly towards the goal. Beaten up and battered, tired and worn out, his muscles ached and he cried to stop, but he continued on. He stayed the course, hobbling along until he crossed the finish line. One of the reporters said, "Sir, you didn't have to do this. Why?" And the runner answered, "My country did not send me here to just start the race. They sent me here to finish." The same is true as a Christian. God just didn't send his son to die on the cross just so we start the race. Many have done that. God wants us also to finish the race. Paul says it this way, run to win. And may we run with the Christian race with excellence. May we do it well. May we put forth the hard work. May we pay attention to our faith. And may we work at it daily. And doing so, we finish the race. Are you in the Christian race? Are you running? It may be here you started, but you're not doing very well in trying to finish that race. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to change directions in your life. And we want to offer an invitation for that. Or maybe you're here today and you never even started the race. Would you? We implore you to. By beginning the Christian race, you confess and acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the only begotten Son of God, that he died on the cross and raised from the grave. And if you believe that and confess that, will you repent of your sins? Turn from running for Satan and run for God and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you need to enter the race or you need to change direction in the race that you're running, come now. We'll receive you as we stand and sing.